The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you with the help of our sponsor, AWeber, the world's leading small business email marketing and automation service provider. Since 1998, AWeber has helped more than 1 million small businesses and entrepreneurs through its suite of web-based email marketing, automation tools, and education. AWeber, the best option when it comes to marketing your business. The podcast is also brought to you by The Alternative Board. Since 1989, The Alternative Board, or TAB, has been one of the leading peer advisory and business coaching organizations for independent business owners and CEOs across the world. By facilitating peer advisory boards, private one-on-one coaching, and strategic planning services, TAB helps business owners improve their businesses in ways that change their lives. And be sure to connect with our affiliate sponsor, GSM Growth Agency. They're boosting e-commerce businesses to 6 and 7 figures in revenue and cover everything from ads and social media influencers to making your website better. GSM Growth Agency focuses on taking businesses from startup success to bigger success, going above and beyond to make sure growth sticks around. They're all about cool ideas, lasting partnerships, and making your mark in the e-commerce world. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So the way we work with people, like practically, like we have people who are like, Julia, I hate it. I don't even want to think about it. And they have the budget to pay for that.
Right.
We say, give it to us. We'll take care of it. You don't have to think about it. You get to look at your posts once a month, say that they look good, approve them, and they go live. But we had more and more people who came to us and said, I want good social, but I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't have the budget for it.
And so
we were like, okay, like, how can we do this? And so it's taken us – we've been sitting on this problem for 3 years. Like, how do we make something that is good and worth people's money and time, but still, like, actually works? Right. And so we finally this year launched what we call the DIY Social Club. And so it's for people who know that they need a social presence, but don't have either the time, experience, or money to go big.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. As always, another great guest coming on in a few minutes. You'll talk to Julia. We're going to talk all about digital marketing, and had a lot of marketing people on lately, which is good. It's all about content. That's why I do the podcast. So really good stuff. We'll get some good tips. We'll hear Julia's story. So if you are listening on your favorite podcast directory and you can leave us a review, leave us a 5-star review. If you're watching us on YouTube, then you can subscribe to the channel and like us so we can keep bringing the content that we have today. So let's get on with today's show.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hey, I'm Julia. I run Stratos Creative Marketing, and our whole mission is to help business owners have a better relationship with social media. We do that via creating content that they are proud of and also content that brings in leads.
All right, Julia. So thanks for connecting with me and coming on the show. I know we spoke. I think I was on the road or something, and we spoke.
I was too, actually. So
you were.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you are an entrepreneur, you just have a mobile office.
Yeah, at this point. So. Absolutely. That's why, like, I got to be in the office to do the podcast, but everything else I can. I used to have I still have the friends. I don't know if they do it anymore. I had these two guys. They were doing like this 10-minute podcast. It was in the early days when I didn't even know what I was doing, mm-hmm. just getting started. Yeah. and they both had a job. They worked at a company. They would like meet in their car to do this audio podcast. I think they did it on their phone, like with one of the apps, and they just recorded this thing and then uploaded it, and it was crazy. And then they would run back to work. It's like,
amazing. That, I mean, again, like just going back to your definition of the entrepreneur, like that is what that is. So
yeah, exactly. That's the way you gotta live. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. And why don't we start though with your story? I always like to start there, and you can share about, you know, your background and where you're from and how you got into what you're doing. And then in the second half, we'll talk about tips and tricks and things that, you know, like you mentioned, we have a lot of, what do they call them? Startup entrepreneurs, bootstrappers, you know, people with tight budgets. So do it yourself, I think you mentioned, right?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yep, we do a lot of work with people like that. So, so my name is Julia Block Pearson. I reside in Salt Lake City, and where it is currently snowing. I'm watching it snow outside of my window. I moved here from Wisconsin. And for those of you who have been either to Salt Lake City, you're like, it's cold there, but it is not as cold as Wisconsin.
No, so that is it is ridiculous.
The last winter I was there in Wisconsin, there was a day or 2 days that it had a negative 60 degree wind chill, and I was like, peace out. What I love about Salt Lake is you can see the snow in the mountains.
It's like living in the tropics.
Like it's beautiful up in the mountains.
Yeah, Salt Lake's beautiful. I've been there too. It's like in the valley, and you got all the mountains around you. And
I live in Salt Lake with my husband and our 20-month-old daughter, who, for all my parents out there, has officially entered into like what I like to call toddler teenagehood. And to me, I talk to my friends with teenagers, and I'm like, it's one and the same. One just has more words than the other.
I got three. My youngest is 18, but 18 years. So, it's a little different dynamic. It's still frustrating as a parent.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's an adventure.
Anyway, 20 months, she's 20 years, and she won't want anything to do with you. She won't your support when nothing to do with you. That's just the way it is.
It's crazy. Oh my gosh. Parenting is a trip. It's the biggest trip I've been on. So I'm the owner of Stratos Creative. I founded it back in 2018. I really relate to even like your description of the accidental entrepreneur, because I didn't go out to do this on purpose. I definitely knew that I was going to be an entrepreneur at some point. So I knew that that was in my future. I had had an experience with direct sales, and I was really good at it. The company that I worked with was not necessarily above board. So I left that, went back to the nonprofit world, actually, which is where I started. And while I was in the nonprofit world, I was always the youngest person on our team. And so I was automatically put in charge of our social media and website. So
that's what you do, right?
When you're the baby, that's what you get to do.
You were doing all marketing at all these companies.
No, I wasn't. I was actually doing like casework, case management. And then I was just the youngest person. So people were like,
oh, do the social media and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. People were like, oh, she's young. She understands social. She should do it. So I started taking classes, started teaching myself what was strategic, what was not, things like that. Towards the end of my last full-time position, I helped a friend with a campaign. It was a Giving Tuesday campaign on social media. I wrote out the whole 3-week campaign, and it was a very small nonprofit, and they raised $4,000 in one day because of what I helped them do. And so at that point I was like, maybe somebody would pay me for this. My corporate job, while I was at a nonprofit, that was, the goal was to empower women, like the CEO and the higher level staff did not believe several of us that had been harassed by our supervisor. And so at that point, I was like, peace out. I'm not about this life. I'm going to go see if I can make some money.
Now, so when you do a campaign, right, on social media, what involves a campaign? Like, I think of social media, I figured you're posting photos of like an event you guys had, like – to promote.
So we're all posting social posts all the time.
Yeah.
I consider something like a campaign where it's like a connected storyline with a goal or purpose in mind. So for my friend, this was like a Giving Tuesday campaign to raise money for their nonprofit. You can also have like Black Friday campaigns, Cyber Monday campaigns. Like we all just saw a ton of those without realizing it. Or we might have like a campaign for brand awareness. It's usually something that is a little bit more purposeful.
Okay.
Where it's all connected. So yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had 3 months of living expenses saved up, and I had a part-time job, and I said, well, Julia, you have 3 months to like prove that you can get a client.
Like, you were still in Wisconsin, not married, no kids at the time?
Yeah, not married. I'm very single at the time.
Right? You don't have, yeah.
Yes, and I thought I was going to wait to become an entrepreneur until I had health insurance via somebody else's life. so I suddenly had to figure out how. So I had low risk in terms of people in my life. Like I was only putting myself on the line. But suddenly I had to be responsible for every single thing. And so that was really intimidating. I was 26 at the time, I want to say. And so I didn't know what I was doing. But I started. I ended up moving. I had been living in Madison, and Madison is pretty expensive. So I moved 45 minutes away to this tiny little town that nobody's ever heard of, paid $200 in rent, and just lived with like my best friend because realized, okay.
That's why you went there. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I can't afford life in this beautiful city that I love if I also want to build a dream. And so I made some sacrifices.
That's where University of Wisconsin is, and that's the capital, right?
Yeah, so, and it's a beautiful city. Yeah. Only in the summer. Winter, right. I can take her to leave it. Yeah,
right, exactly.
but yeah, so that's how I started. Within a year, I had quit my part-time job, and I was doing it full-time, just living off of the revenue I was making. And within the year, I also was hiring my first employee because we had an excess of work. So now, 6 years later, we have a team of 13 people who are all content people, creating content, graphic designers, strategists, all sorts of things. And we do done-for-you work, which is basically our clients say, hey, I want social media, but I don't ever want to have to think about it. Right. And then we also have programs for DIYers who are like, hey, I don't have the budget for this, but I don't like doing it. And so we work with them too. So that's kind of where we're at. There's been like a ton of evolutions like in the process, but it's been a really fun and very fulfilling journey.
So your people are mostly virtual? They're not in an office or anything, right?
Yeah, everybody's remote. So we have people in like 5 different states. So which is the worst for payroll. So for any of my fellow entrepreneurs who are thinking about hiring, don't do what I did. Like hire all in one place so that you don't have to register with a ton of state taxes. But
yeah,
it's worth it. I love these people. So
they're working in the state in which they're located, right?
Yeah. So you have to register your business in every single state. So like, it's like their home office is your office location.
Right. You're doing business in those places. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
so when you got started, you didn't have any clients, right? Because the companies you came out of, they weren't your clients, right? So how did you get, let's talk about that because, you know, you mentioned before sales, you kind of took to, it was comfortable. A lot of people's not so comfortable. Mm-hmm. So how do you wake up one morning and say, okay, I got nothing. I'm paying $200 in rent, live with my friend. And get my first client?
So I feel very fortunate to have had a huge network by the time I went and started. I had built like a ginormous network of people because of my previous positions. And I had stayed in touch with a lot of them. And so when I started, I honestly just started telling people, I was like, hey, I'm doing this. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I can guarantee it's pretty cheap right now. So
give me a check, right? Type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how I started growing. I will be honest, like the prices that I started with are probably a fifth of what we charge now. Oh, yeah. And that just like is part of the journey, in my opinion. I just knew that I needed to have clients to pay bills. And so I only have one client that has stuck with me for 4 years. A lot of the other ones, and it's not because anything bad happened, but it's just because of our price increases, their businesses changed, their needs changed. But
sure.
We used to build a lot more websites. We still do, but not nearly as much. Like we're leaning into the social media world.
Uh-huh.
And so things have changed, but I think that I just ran into a client who was from that very first year, 5 years later, and we just happened to be at the same conference, and it was the sweetest reflection of like how far things have come. At first I was working probably 60 hours a week, had no social life,
right.
But I knew like where I wanted to be.
Right.
And I knew that it wouldn't be like this forever.
Yeah. So. Well, you can't, when you get started, you can't just, you know, go along steady as she goes. You're never going to get off the ground. You got to work hard, put the time into, you get up to an altitude where you're cruising. And you got other people working for you, and you know, and then you can start molding and shaping your lifestyle. I think, though, it's a really good point that people don't really first they don't value the they don't realize the value of having a network, right? And they know more people than they give themselves credit for. And when you start out, right? I mean, that's the first place you have to go. People that know you and are going to give you a shot. I mean, if you were prospecting cold, they'd be like, well, Julia, how much experience have you had? I have no experience.
Right.
No, they wouldn't hire you. So I think a lot of people overlook that. They're like, well, how do I do that? How would I get started? You don't have to sell the door. It doesn't work that way. You can start by building. And the earlier you start by collecting names and staying in touch with people, that was another thing you said. Really important for people to know that you're still around.
For
and it's
sure.
not such a shocker when you go, you know, then they're like, I knew you would get that. I knew that you would, you know, go out on your own.
Sure.
And they're not surprised. They're happy to support you because.
For sure. And I think another thing that we sometimes do, and even I've been in this place, is that we're almost like secret entrepreneurs. And I still do this. Like my husband is probably like my best salesperson because he doesn't feel emotionally attached to the success or failure of the business. Like, because he does not work with me on this. He has his own job. But he, like, talks about us all the time. Like, my employees talk about us all the time. The only person who does not talk about us all the time is me. Because I am embarrassed.
Right,
embarrassed. Or, like, I don't want people to feel pressure. But one of the things that I've been practicing and trying on is that if I'm not talking about my own services, like, do I really believe in them?
Right.
And I think that is something that I am personally learning right now is that do I need to go and like accost and harass people? No, nobody's going to want to do your business.
Right.
But, usually like when people will ask me like, well, what do you do? I'm like, oh yeah, I just have a business. Like I don't tell them like,
no, but that's in your mind. Like a lot of people feel that way. Like, oh, well, they're going to think I'm harassing them. No, you think that you're harassing them. They don't feel that way. And you know what? At the end of the day, Julia, if they're your friend and they feel that way, you don't need to do business with them anyway. Like, who cares about these
people? No, for sure.
Sales. I used to feel like, well, if I had a store and I was having a grand opening or something, let's say we're selling sneakers, so I don't know, and you call your best friend and the first thing they say is, I don't really need any sneakers. You'd be like, I don't care whether you need sneakers or not. I want you to support me and come to the opening and have, you know, be there and show support. Mm-hmm. So you're like, well, I don't need friends like that.
And yes, I totally agree. And so in my world, that looks like, hey, family, friends, like, will you like my Facebook post or my Instagram post? Like, even though you're not my customer, totally get it.
Support.
But the problem is that, there are also people in this world who the moment I like a Facebook post or an Instagram post, then I suddenly get this direct message that says, hey, you want to try this product?
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. I was just like supporting you because we are friends.
I know.
And so I think that as business owners, like when people ask, like, we shouldn't be like secret entrepreneurs. Like, it's not the secret life. But also, like, just because someone's supporting you on social media doesn't mean that they want to immediately buy from you. Like,
right.
You got to just make it easy for people to know what you do and how to find you.
Right.
I think I'm always fascinated when people or my clients will say, like, oh, I'm so bummed. Like, my aunt went and hired so-and-so instead of me. I'm like, well, did your aunt know what you do?
Right.
Like, because if your aunt doesn't actually know what you do, I'm sorry, but that's actually your fault.
Yeah. 100%. When I got started, I wasn't started. I had been working for a while, but I had a client. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of business work and I do a lot of estate planning and stuff, but they don't always, you know, cross over. So I had a client. It was a good business client. I was having trouble. He called me and he said, listen, I need your help. I got to work this out. I'm having all kinds of problems with our franchise locations. And I thought, who's the smartest guy I know? So he calls me, right? And I hadn't heard from him a long time. So then when we cleaned all that stuff up, he literally called me and said, hey, my wife and I, now we had to redo our wills. I'm like, oh, great. He goes, can you refer me to a good estate planning attorney? And I was like, you're kidding me, right? And he's like, no. You're right. You're 100% right. That was my fault, not his fault. I didn't communicate with him. So I started a whole new campaign of keeping in touch with people and having an emailing list. And hey, you know, I saw you like the Facebook post. Would you like us to put you on our mailing list so you can learn more about our business? That's all you have to say. Right. You don't have to say, hey, will you buy this?
Right. Oh, yeah. And for sure. I think like that's like a way better approach. And like, how do we keep on staying in touch? Like, because nobody, or the other day I was on a meeting with somebody and they sold, like they were talking about something that I really wanted. And it was great package. It ended up being more expensive than what I wanted to pay. But I never told them that. I told them, like, let me think about this. Because at the moment, like, in the moment, I was like, I want this. Like, I have not heard from them in over a month. Like, there was no follow-up.
Very common.
No follow-up, like, no staying in touch. Like, and part of me, like, wants to go – this is like the snarky, sassy part of me wants to go back to them and be like, hey, I'm not like, this is not the right time for me because I don't want to pay that much. Like, cause I'm putting my money elsewhere right now. But like, you didn't even ask me.
Right. You didn't even
you didn't even ask me if you wanted me to like follow up or like, was I still thinking about it or did I have any more questions? And so I think that, sometimes as entrepreneurs, we blame external things and be like, oh, well, nobody's saying yes. Or like nobody likes my pricing, like, or all of these things that are not under my control, where I don't think we really fully take control as much as we can without being jerks. Yeah. Like, we don't have to be jerks while we do it, but there's a lot of things that we could be doing to help ourselves out.
Yeah, absolutely. You ever go to like a local restaurant or shop and they have like a fishbowl? And you put your card in there and you'll win lunch. You can always tell whether they're going to be successful or not is if you ever hear from them again, because you won't win the lunch. Right?
Totally. Yes.
And it's probably happened 100 times. I go in a place and I say, you know what? They're going to be out of business in a month. They're like, why? Mm-hmm. Because they got this bowl of people that have literally walked into their place, raised their hand, like, we want to eat your food or whatever. And they have no marketing and they're not keeping in touch with any of these people.
For sure. I totally agree with you. Yeah. It's like a fascinating thing. And I think that as entrepreneurs, and because I work with a lot of startups, like, I totally get it. You can't do all of the things all at once. But I think that there's some of these things that you can start building and put on autopilot. So things like this person who, like, I had this conversation with and I decided not to buy. She had my email because she emailed me stuff. Like, I'm like, put that into a form that like puts me on your email list. Like, I've handed it, like, fishbowls are hard because I get there. Like, you have to have somebody who's going to type those up. But like, more and more people are doing things like that with QR codes, where people are
Well, this was back when there was no QR codes, but you're right. You can make it easy for them too.
Right. But like, I think some of those are like, people will tell me like, oh, I don't have the time or I don't have the resources to pay somebody to do it. Well, I'm like, just start simple and like start building off of it so that you have these like recurring marketing things.
Yeah.
So that like, once you have that done, like you just have to watch people's emails come in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We used to go to networking events, right, in person before the change of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'd come back with these cards, like stack of cards, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, well, what am I going to do with these things? So we would put them into a database and then we'd start. So now, because of the calendar and automatic this and that, people make an appointment. You probably did this. You make it up, right? Did you start getting emails about my practice? Mm-hmm. Like for like four or 5 weeks?
Yeah.
So what happens is you make an appointment. The system takes the email, puts it on our mail list through AWeber. AWeber then starts a drip campaign of like, I think it's like 6 emails about the practice. And then after that, you just hear about the podcast and any blogs or whatever.
For sure.
But I don't have to think about it. It happens automatically.
Totally. And I think that's the problem is most people aren't willing to leverage the tools to make it happen automatically. And so then 2 to 3 years down the line, they're like, oh crap, I don't have an email.
Right.
And so I really believe in stuff like that really wholeheartedly, because I also like sometimes my clients will say like, but did they really sign up for my email? I'm like, we live in a culture that if we type our email in, we just assume that we're going to be getting emails. Like, and some of us, like even, and Black Friday or Cyber Monday, I will sometimes even sign up for things that I know that I'm not going to buy, but I don't want to forget because it is unpredictable who's going to show up in my social media, but I can predict who I'm going to get emails from.
Right.
Some of us actually even sign up for things like intentionally because we want them. Or I might sign up for something knowing like, hey, I want this, but I want to buy it on sale. So like, let me just hang out on the email list until they have a sale.
Yeah.
And that's also something that people do too.
You ever do that where you go, you put something in the shopping cart and you leave it there and you go away and you get an email.
Oh, yeah.
Julie, you know, you left this in the shopping cart. If you buy it now, we'll take 20% off. Like,
oh yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm all about gaming the system. You know, like those are like savings that like help me buy more Starbucks. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I literally have my life insurance company said that if you allow us to track like your activity, going to the gym, things like that, lower your life insurance premium. I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. So I have this little, you know, I was using the Fitbit anyway. So there's an app when it tracks me. And then as I get more and more points, they send me like an Amazon gift card, a Starbucks card.
Cool. That's awesome.
I think it's fun. They probably
know. So they're like gamifying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally intrusive, but I do
that's
it.
Awesome.
So this is good. So we'll take a commercial break and then we'll come back. And then we can talk really in the business of helping people develop business. I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So then we can talk about all that kind of stuff and what people should look for. Because I think even today for the small business owner, it's like you said before, all the digital marketing and social media stuff, it's still elusive to them. Like things don't consistently show up on your feed. You post something, I don't see it for whatever reason because of some ridiculous algorithm that we can't figure out. So maybe we get back into that. Does that sound good?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. Hang there for a second.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Looking to market and grow your business? Or perhaps you're just getting started and want to hit the ground running? AWeber is the best choice for online email marketing and automation of your business. From maintaining a subscriber list to drip campaigns and landing pages, AWeber gives you tools and integrations that make marketing easy and fun. As our partner and sponsor, we use all their tools to promote the podcast and market our law firm. AWeber, the best alternative for online marketing. For over 30 years, the Alternative Board, or TAB, has built a thriving community of forward-thinking CEOs and business owners who want to radically improve their companies. Through unique combinations of one-on-one business coaching, participation in monthly TAB board meetings with other non-competing owners, a suite of strategic tools, and customized strategic planning workshops, TAB membership can deliver greater strength to your business and a better work-life balance for you and your family. All packaged in a streamlined and affordable service that the people at TAB invite you to try risk-free. Are you struggling with managing advertising due to a lack of time or expertise? Perhaps you're facing challenges in scaling ads for your store. Are you feeling lost when strategies have no success? GSM Growth Agency is your reliable partner in overcoming these business challenges. Feel the impact of collaborating with a team dedicated not only to short-term goals, but also to building long-term partnerships and achieving sustained success. Embark on an exciting journey to redefine the possibilities of e-commerce and create a legacy of unparalleled excellence. Take decisive action now. Follow their link in the show notes to receive a complimentary audit of your Shopify store conducted by a GSM expert. Propel your e-commerce game to new heights with GSM Growth Agency. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
All right, Julia, we are back. All right, so let's get into all the, you know, digital marketing and stuff.
Sweet.
And what you do for, you know, how you do it, what you can do yourself, what you shouldn't, when you should, you know, hire somebody like you. Tips, tricks, things you see people do wrong all the time. That would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for sure, social media, I think, is one of the most elusive things right now, just because you're right. Like, it does change. Our dear Mark Zuckerberg changes the algorithm probably on a weekly basis. I realize he's not actually doing it, but his team is. And so when people tell me, like, oh, I don't really know what to do on social media, I usually say, me either. Like, and I realize that that might not give you confidence, but I can tell you that we're managing 30 plus accounts, so we know what we're seeing.
Right.
And so that is, like, the benefit of hiring an agency or a social media manager who's managing a lot of accounts, because they can see tips and trends. One of the things that is really important to me is cross-pollination. So taking something that's working for one client in one industry and then trying it out somewhere else, or taking strategies that are working for our clients with massive amounts of followers and then trying it for the people who have little followers, and vice versa. And so that's honestly, like, the biggest benefit, other than just not having to think about it. Most of the people who I talk to, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I hate social media.
Because they feel pressured. Like, you hear these statistics. Mm-hmm. You should. I heard somebody tell me you should post every 50 minutes. I'm like, every 50 minutes? I got to work. I got to do client work, you know? So
once a day,
a couple of times a week. I mean, it's great.
Right. We have, like, very much – so we have this, what we've tagged and what we're developing as – humans first, workers second sort of curriculum. And we use it with social media, where we are like, you as a business owner are a human first and you're a worker second. So, like, how does social media actually support your business? I would never in a million years tell anybody to post that much. I also don't really tell people to post more than once a day. Like,
that's a lot.
People who need to post once a day are people who are making money on social. So people like influencers or e-commerce or things like that. Most of us who are in service-based businesses, we just got to be out there.
Right.
And so more and more, we're working with a lot of smaller businesses who honestly just need proof of life. Especially with
still in business.
Yeah, more and more Gen Z and millennials especially Gen Z and millennials, use social media to validate a business.
Right.
Some of them even use it to Google, like, to search for businesses. So instead of Google, they go to Facebook, they go to Instagram,
right,
because they're looking for something. So if you do not show up, or even maybe you're on Google, but then your Facebook hasn't been updated for 2 years.
Right.
That posits questions.
Yeah,
does that mean you have a problem? No, you might be totally fine.
Or you go to LinkedIn, they got 50 followers and no photograph, you know?
Right. It posits questions on whether, is this real? Like, should I even, like, is it worth reaching out to them? Like, or is it worth stopping in their shop? And so, for some of our clients, we tell them, you know what, all you need is 1 to 2 posts a week. just so people know that you're alive, right. That your business is still living and breathing.
I don't want to stay on your email list. I get too many emails from you. I'm like, once a week is too many. All right.
Yeah. And that's totally fine. And so I think that's where we lean, is we really want to create realistic expectations around social media, because I love social, like, and I love doing it. So when people tell me that they hate social, I'm like, thank you. I have better job security now. Right. But in the end, like, I want people's social to serve them.
Right.
And sometimes I think that is just with a little bit of content, like a small amount of content that they are proud of. And then other of our clients were like, no, we want it to bring in leads. And so you have to figure out first and foremost what you want your social to do and what you expect it to do. Because I think that so many people get frustrated because they have better things to do with their time. And so social falls by the wayside, or they get disappointed because they have such high expectations,
right,
that social is going to save their business. Yeah. And social is not a miracle worker. It is like the farthest thing from a miracle worker that you can find. Email is way better in my mind, but social media is still important because people expect to see you on there.
Yeah, it's something you got to work at and figure out, and then it changes, right? I mean, that's why we're with people who do it regularly and do it with a lot of clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the way we work with people, like practically, like we have people who are like, Julia, I hate it. I don't even want to think about it, and they have the budget to pay for that.
Right.
We say, give it to us. We'll take care of it. You don't have to think about it. You get to look at your posts once a month, say that they look good, approve them, and they go live. But we had more and more people who came to us and said, I want good social, but I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't have the budget for it.
Right.
That's
the problem.
And so, chicken and right. Egg. And so we were like, okay, like, how can we do this? And so it's taken us. We've been sitting on this problem for 3 years. Like, how do we make something that is good and worth people's money and time, but still, like, actually works? Right. And so we finally this year launched what we call the DIY Social Club. And so it's for people who know that they need a social presence, but don't have either the time, experience, or money to go big. So what we do is we actually give them templates, and they're fill in the blank templates. So all of our people in the DIY club are using the same templates. None of their social feeds look exactly the same because they're customizing all of them. And so you get personalized social media made by people who know what's working and what's not working.
Right.
Without having to pay for it. And the reason it's scalable and cheap is because we can make those templates. And so they come with both like the caption templates, and then we also make graphic templates, and then people can plug their own colors.
Right. And then if it works and they start getting off the ground, they start getting some following, then they can ship it off to you and say, I want to do this.
Totally. And if it doesn't, at least they're only paying $300 for just proving that they're alive.
Yeah.
Like, and most businesses can afford like a $300 marketing spend because then it's validation that they're actually alive and that they're taking new customers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get emails from people. Mm-hmm. I don't even read them. I just see that they're alive and I'm like, oh, great. And I delete them, you know.
Totally. And it's all about like showing up when people need you. Like, that's like the whole idea with marketing lately is being top of mind.
Right.
So that's kind of what we do practically. In terms of going back to like one of your first questions, like what do I see that people do?
Yeah, mistakes. Wrong? Yeah.
Uh-huh. So one of the things lately, I mean, I think overall, like we live in a, like such a elusive social media world that it's easier to say like what is doing, like a lot of things are people are doing well. Things that annoy the heck out of me, maybe. It's like a better way to put it, or pet peeves. There are more and more social media, not more and more. There are a few social media managers out there who say hashtags don't work. Don't believe them. They work. So hashtags are like the little pound signs that you put with Instagram and LinkedIn. You don't use them on Facebook. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. Facebook keeps on changing their mind. But Instagram, they work and people use them. So more and more, I've seen social media managers out there saying, don't worry about them. Don't put them in. Focus on keywords. I say do both. Yeah. Like, if you want it to be effective, use keywords and use hashtags and use keywords in your hashtags.
So listening, right? Let's explain. Because I always get this explained to me and I can't remember either. And I use them and I don't even know why. So explain what hashtags are. What does for them.
Yeah. So when we talk about people searching, this is primarily on Instagram. So I'm going to talk about Instagram mainly.
Okay.
When we talk about people searching, hashtags are one of the easiest ways for people to search. So they can type in the search, like a keyword or things like that. They can also type in a hashtag. So the pound sign plus a couple words.
But you don't have to use a hashtag when you're searching. You can just put in a word, right?
Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then it will also still pull up the hashtags. So so say I'm looking for a wedding photographer in Salt Lake City where I live. I might look up hashtag wedding photographer SLC or SLC wedding photographer.
Okay.
If I am a photographer and put that hashtag on my post, it will come up like with all of the other ones that have been tagged with that. So hashtags are like these little tags that go on posts that then when somebody searches them or clicks on one, because they're clickable in your Instagram caption,
okay,
then they will see all of the posts that are in that same category. Okay. So that is why they work, because it's putting your post and making it more searchable.
Now, if the hashtag is wedding photographer SLC, does that mean if you search for wedding photographer, you won't get that hashtag?
No, you would get the wedding photographer hashtag.
Just
the not the SLC one. Mm-hmm. And so that could be like wedding photographer anywhere in the world.
Right.
And so then that might not get me the results that I want. It might give me like, maybe I'm looking up styles.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that would be enough. But if I want like a local one, then I'm going to want to use keywords that are like SLC, Salt Lake City, things like that.
But the hashtags you make up, or do you have to figure out like what's being used?
Yeah, so I actually, we research them. And so we will take, and the way you do that is you start kind of brainstorming like a list of keywords, and you actually just manually go in and search them and see how many posts are tagged with it. Usually, like if you have a tag or a hashtag with like 2 million posts, it's not really worth using because your post is just going to be like drowned out by like all 2 million. If you have one that's like 50,000, that's really great because you'll probably be at the top for a little bit in the most recent section.
Okay. So if you do a hashtag for a wedding photographer SLC and nothing comes back, you'll know nobody's using the term.
Right. So then don't use that one because nobody's searching it. Those are kind of the things. If anybody's like actually interested, like we have like a whole strategy session on it that's free on our website. And so we talk through how to research them, how to find them, how to use them.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of the things that I think is a miss if people stop using them.
Okay.
I think another problem that I see is people are not diversifying the type of content that they're putting out. So Facebook, Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, recently had a summit where they released saying multipliers are best. And what multipliers are is we have all sorts of content that you can create for Facebook and Instagram. You have reels, you have carousel posts, you have graphics, you have photos, you have stories, you have threads, you like all of groups, all of these things. They said the more of those types you do, the better off all of your content does.
So if you take like a blog post, you should be putting in those different,
you could do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that like that's what I would call repurposing. That's another one that we love because you're in essence just reformulating the content and putting it out in different ways. But what I'm talking about is just doing a variety of types. So maybe like your carousel is about topic A, your reel is about topic B, and then you have like a story about topic C. Because you're using all of these modalities, it's multiplying the effect. Whereas if you were only ever doing stories, then that's, you're only ever going to get, and it makes sense. Like then you're only ever going to get stories results. Like, but if you have reels and stories and people watch your stories, then the algorithm is going to say, wow, this account must be important. Let's make sure more people see their reels.
Yeah.
So in essence, you're getting more and more watch time.
I think people 50s or older, like my generation, a little bit older. I think we think of like Instagram is the platform and then Facebook's the platform and LinkedIn's the platform, whatever. But there's like platforms within the platform. Like you have to know.
Totally.
Like half the things you just mentioned to me. I've heard of reels. It's kind of like, right? But what's stories?
Stories?
Like six ways to post on Instagram is ridiculous.
Yeah, stories are when you log into Instagram and you've got the little circles at the top. Those are all stories. So,
So
probably everybody listening. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are they longer than reels or are they different?
So,
than
stories disappear after 24 hours.
So it's like Snapchat on crack.
Yes.
Okay.
So really, and don't tell Meta that I said this, but most social media managers will agree. Instagram and Facebook does a really good job of borrowing / stealing from everything else. So stories is modeled after Snapchat.
Right.
Reels are modeled after TikTok.
Okay.
Their newest platform, Threads, is modeled after Twitter/X. And so they have just like kind of borrowed / stolen all of these things. Right. And because they're the beast that they are, some of them stick around, some of them don't stick around.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, they probably look at it as repurposing, not stealing. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, look, it's about power in the marketplace. So they do it, then they just buy
it. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why it gets so confusing, because even someone like me, and I, you know, look, I'm doing the podcast every week and we're creating all kinds of content. I think that my host, if it's set up right, is putting it out on different social media, but I'm sure it's not on Reels or it's just on my Instagram page. It's like a picture, my Instagram page. I don't
know. Well, and that's the thing is that even what we will do for our clients is we'll take, okay, here was the video from the podcast interview. Let's make it into a reel. Here's like a quote snippet. Let's make it into a quote. Now that we've made the reel, let's also just put it on TikTok. Like, and for those of you who know social media, we take the native video and put it up on both. My social media managers will know what that means. And so we try to use it and leverage it to as many places as possible. Those are like some of the things that I would recommend to people, whether or not they're DIYing or not.
So, right. Look, even this studio allows, once we're done with the video, I can literally click a button and it'll make all kinds of snippets and chop them up. Subtitles, and I can just throw them on TikTok or whatever I want to do.
That's the thing. I think that if I could add one more like miss or pet peeve or mistake, is people are not leveraging the technology that they have. So
more than they think.
Totally. Like if your podcast studio does those things, take them and run with them. Or even like ChatGPT has been a great tool for us, because we'll plug in blog posts and we'll say, hey, can you give me a caption out of this? We don't use it directly from ChatGPT, because guys, don't trust ChatGPT. Like you gotta sell a person there. It makes it faster. And then you can get more stuff out there. And I think that not enough people are leveraging the technology that they have at their disposal to get really good content out there.
Yeah, I just I see it though accelerate. Like, so okay, we're putting out good content, we're getting engagement with people, and there's other people that are saying, "How can we do more content? How can we do better content?" And then Instagram changes, and they put on Reels and Stories, and then people are posting there. And it's like this whole herd of people that like run around. And next thing you know, when you thought you were on top of it, you had your new website up, everything's going, you got good SEO, whatever it is. And then you do, I just did a search the other day, like, you know, estate planning attorneys near me. I didn't even come up on the list.
That's so discouraging.
Like months ago, you know, recently. And obviously I'm putting out content or whatever. And I have no idea why. So I got to call my web guy and say, hey, why is this happening? Oh, well, well, the algorithm's always changing, whatever. So it's like, I think to a lot of
people,
it looks like an insurmountable task. And that's why some of the people say, you know, I don't do that, because I think that they're just intimidated.
And I think that's why I would go back to like one of the first things that I mentioned is figuring out what your goals and what your expectations are. So like, obviously, like you, Mitch, you know, okay, when people search estate planning near me, I want to come up. So like, what do we have to do to make that happen? Because in the end, we are finite humans who cannot do everything. And we have finite budgets, because we have to pay our bills. And like, and as our business grows, like our budgets change, but even like nobody has like a truly unlimited budget when it comes to marketing. And that's okay. And so I think that we have to decide, and that's why we work really closely with our clients and say, like, should we be using social media just as proof of life, or should we be using social media as a way to drive leads? Like, what's better? What do you have the budget for? Because some of my people, I recently had a conversation with a mental health therapist out of Canada. Okay. And she's just starting her solo practice. And she was like, I want social media, but this is my budget. I was like, don't do social media. Like, immediately you need to do Google Ads, because people need to find you. Like, because they need to do exactly what you're trying to do and say, like, mental health therapist near me. Right. And you need to come up, because that will get you business.
Right.
Social media will not get you business right now. Like, eventually, for sure. But that's where, like, as your budget grows, you can do more and more things. But, like, when you first start, like, that budget needs to make you money.
Right. Yeah, because you got to keep the engine going. I remember when I first started the podcast. So I've been doing it like 4.5 years now. It's 300 some odd episodes.
That's, wow, that's awesome.
Took a long time to get there. And a buddy of mine had a podcast. I think he still does. He's out of Florida. It's called like the E-Tribe or something. And I went on his podcast. He went on mine, whatever. He said, you know, if you just keep putting out content and just keep producing episodes, like magic, it'll happen. And I don't really look for guests anymore. I mean, I met you through probably Podmatch or one of the booking bookers that contact me every single day. I got in this morning. There were five more in my box, because once you have certain amount of episodes, certain amount of content, you, like you said, proof of life, people think like you're real. There's a lot of podcasts out there, but very few of them go like beyond like 10 episodes or whatever. You know, people peter out.
For sure.
You know, I also, and maybe you have some thoughts about this, I think people have to kind of build their little infrastructure, the way they're doing things, in a way that they think that they could keep it going for a long period of time. I think people get all excited and they're going to post and this and that. And they, you know, Julia, I'm posting every 2 days and whatever. And you jump back in 3 months and they're not posting at all because they just got burned out.
I think I would take consistency over quantity any day. And I think that that rings true, and I've seen it ring true for my business, and I've seen it ring true for our clients. So when I first started, I did not have an email list. And then finally I was like, oh, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. Like, I need to, like,
you hear knew a lot of people, about- you just didn't have them on an email list. Right.
And like, or like, I have time to do all of my other clients' emails and social media, but I came last. And for me, it took hiring another person to get it done. Like, my first employee, she is the only reason that we got stuff out the door. But we've been sending a weekly email for probably 4 years now. And we make so much money off of it, but it's because people expect it, people like it, people respond to it. Like we,
top of
I got a $20,000 contract out of one email that we sent. And so that's where, if I had to scale back, that's the thing that I would scale back last. Yeah. Because I know it makes me money, and we have been consistently doing it. And so it's not necessarily about doing it a lot. It's about doing it over time, because then I think you can also trace back, like, what is actually making me money and how do I make those decisions?
Right. So. And you don't know when somebody's going to need your services or what's going to come up. And if they heard from 3 days ago, like within the last week is fine. They'll be like, you know, call Julia and her company. They can definitely handle this. Or somebody comes to me and says, hey, I need a good marketing person. Who do you know? And I just heard from you 3 days ago, you know?
For sure. Exactly. And I think, and the last thing that I would say with that is just making sure you're really clear. Going back to, like, if you didn't tell your aunt what you do, like, then it's your fault if she hires somebody else.
Right.
But you need to be really clear and concise. Like, I feel like, I know you told your story about, like, your person not knowing that you did estate planning, but it's not like you have to, like, be like, well, here's the list of all things that I do. You really have to say, like, hey, anytime that you need law for your family or for your business, come to me. Like, and so something that is that simple, that's like, hey, when you hear somebody needs law, like a lawyer, I just want you to tell them to go to Mitch.
Right.
Like,
it's taken a long time to get there, but you're right. People call me for things I don't do all the time, but I refer them to colleagues and I make sure they get taken care of. And they appreciate it.
And and that's exactly what happens, is people will tell their friends, like, you need marketing help, go talk to Julia. People come to me all the time. I'm like, yeah, we don't do that. But here's so-and-so. And I really think that there are karmic powers that, like, bring that back to us. But I am happy that people know me for marketing, because then that's where they send it. We had a really, really cool experience. Like, just this past year, we narrowed down our mission that it's to help people help business owners improve their relationships with social media. I started saying it at a conference randomly, and people, like, enjoyed talking to us, and I was like, maybe this has a thing. So I started sharing it with my team, and we started sharing it with our clients here and there. We had a client who invited us to speak at an event, didn't ask us for a bio ahead of time, but she stood up there and said, hey, this is the team at Stratos. Their goal is to help people improve their relationships with social media. So at that point, I was like, it worked.
Right.
It worked because other people are repeating it, and it's easy enough for people to remember. And now everybody's going to think of me when they think of social media.
Right.
And that's what I want. So
If you're not concise and you're not specific, people, it's just a bunch of noise. You ever go to, like, an networking event, whether you're online or in person, and there's one person who, like, vomits all over the group, trying to, like, desperately get in everything that they do and not forget, because they think, well, if I hit this and that, you just got to be concise and then move on.
Right. And that's the thing, is that we, so our brains are actually built to, I don't know if you've ever been at a networking event and halfway through a conversation, you're like, I have no idea what we're talking about anymore. Because my brain started thinking about what's for
dinner. Yeah, that's what happens.
And it's because suddenly your brain decided dinner is more important than what this person is saying. And all of our brains work that way.
Yeah.
And so as the person on the other side, we need to start using words that keep people engaged so that they don't zone out. And so I think that's where clarity and concise language really, really is important.
Yeah, I think you'd like, I just had a guy on my podcast, the episode hasn't even come out yet. He wrote a book called Brain Glue, and it was all about that exact thing, all about the stickiness and the conciseness and how it will stick in your mind if it's interesting and concise, and if it's long and convoluted, forget it. Just, like, oozes
out. Sure.
So.
Yeah, my favorite book about it is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Oh, he talks about how to use Story Brand. Like, we're actually Story Brand certified because it works.
That's why
so
it was behind you somewhere, like on the wall. Yeah, I was wondering if that was related to his book. I saw you.
It is. It is related. We're a certified agency, so we use StoryBrain with everything because storytelling works, and he just preaches like concise and clear storytelling, and I think that is like what has made magic for a lot of our clients.
Yeah, so a friend. I guess she's a friend. Mm-hmm. She was on the podcast. I heard her speak. Lisa Lieberman Wang. Do you know Lisa?
Okay. No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So she's like a coach, you know, motivational speaker, whatever. Cool. Mm-hmm. She's the one who turned me onto that book.
Cool. I know. I'm going to have to. I'm going to add Brain Glue to my.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's on Amazon, whatever. It's funny. The guy who wrote it, his name is James Bond. So he uses James Bond, so he doesn't get confused with the.
Oh my gosh.
Funny.
You know, that's like interest. I'm almost like, what would be worse, to be confused? So more people would buy.
I remembered his name and I remember the book, right? Because James Bond. I was like, oh, I have to have James Bond on the podcast. This is great.
You have to have James Bond on your bookshelf.
Yeah. And you call up a restaurant and, you know, first of all, half of them probably don't believe you, but, you know. So,
for sure. That's excellent. I love it.
All right. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you, interact? We'll put links in the show notes, but is it
LinkedIn,
Facebook, Instagram? What's the best way? Your website?
Yeah, I spend most of my time on Instagram. So if you want to come and find us, we are at Stratos, Stratos Creative.
Okay.
If you want to follow me and my entrepreneurial journey personally, it's Julia Block Pearson. But otherwise, you can find us on every social channel, because that would be weird if you couldn't.
That's what you do.
And our website is stratoscreativemarketing.com.
Awesome. Well, Julia, I can't thank you enough. It must be 1 o'clock there or 2 o'clock there.
It's 2 o'clock. So,
It's 4 o'clock here. So have a great weekend. Thanks for spending
you
time. Let's definitely stay in touch.
Will do. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur. Opening and closing music written and performed by Howie Moscovich and Made to Order Music. For information about Howie and his music services, please follow the link in our show notes. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com.
The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted by Mitch Beinhacker and produced by Beinhacker Law. If you'd like to learn more about our business and legal services, you can find us on social media or visit our website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.